Amen. Well, I appreciate that good singing this morning, good special. Stirs my heart for worship. Amen. I thank God for it. Well, I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings this morning, chapter number 3. A message out of here that I've Lord's put on my heart this morning, away from 1 John, and we'll just get back to 1 John whenever the Lord puts us there. But I've got a message here out of 1 Kings chapter 3 the Lord's given us, and pray to be a blessing and a help to you this morning. 1 Kings chapter 3, if you found your place and are physically able to and would like to, we'll stand one last time for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 3, and look with me in verse number 4. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Should pause for a second and just point out the fact that he was worshiping the Lord, offering sacrifices, and it just so happens that that's when he heard from God. And it seems like it just so happens, right? Just so happens that that's when we hear from God too. And a lot of people wonder why they're not hearing from God. God's not speaking, but they won't worship. Won't show up to worship. And won't worship when they do show up. And God speaks when we worship. He says, it says in Gibeon, verse 5, "The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked riches, asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep thy statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and Lord, the preservation of it. Lord, I thank you that we have and hold a copy of the Word of God this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to cherish it and to love it, and Lord, to receive it as the very Word of God, knowing that it is. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we try to preach it. Lord, it's been so good this morning already. Thank you for stirring my heart. And but Lord, up to this point, you've blessed and helped. But Lord, we need your help from here on out. God, I pray that you'd help me to preach the Word of God in a way that would be pleasing unto you. I pray that you would help us to receive it. And Lord, may you give us power and unction that makes preaching And Lord, I pray that you would give liberty and vocabulary. Lord, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts and use the preaching of the Word of God this morning. I pray for that lost soul among us this morning that you would do, Lord, the work within that heart that only you can do. Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there be one among us that's lost, they'd be saved today. They'd repent and believe the gospel and be born again, made a new creature in Christ. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that we'd be drawn closer to you and that you would make us more like Jesus. I pray that you would encourage us, uplift us, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I just pray your will would be done. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm interested really, and will probably draw most of my thoughts out of verse number 9, where Solomon says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" Now, this is a very well-known verse of Scripture and a very well-known passage by a very well-known man. This is where the Bible lets us know and God declares Solomon to be the wisest man that ever lived. That's what God said. He said there at the end of the passage that because of what you've prayed, because of what you've asked for, there's never been one that's going to be like you and never be one afterwards because of the understanding heart and the wisdom that God granted him. And so this verse is a part of Solomon's great prayer for wisdom that he made here at Gibeon. Now, here he's early in his reign as a king. He's probably about 20 years old at this point in his life. Matter of fact, most early historians agree that Solomon was probably somewhere between the age of 12 and 15 when he was anointed king. And now he's about 20 years old, probably, as he's just come to the throne. The chapter before, in chapter 2, David has passed away and has given Solomon a final charge. And then he's passed on to be with the Lord. And now Solomon has come to the throne to replace his father, David. Now Solomon specifically asked for something in this passage. And he asked for something very, very important. As a matter of fact, what Solomon asked for right here is probably the most important thing that anyone could ever have in their life. He could have asked for a lot of things. As a matter of fact, God even pointed out that there's a lot of things that he could have asked for, and the things that God pointed out are probably the things that most people would ask for. If God was ever able to be pictured as a genie in a bottle, we know he's not, but if he was ever be able to be pictured as one, it would be in this passage. Because Solomon is worshiping God, he's offering all these sacrifices, and he has this vision, has this dream where God appears unto him and grants him a wish, so to speak. A lot like a genie in a bottle. God isn't that, but it's kind of that way here. And Solomon can literally ask for anything. God leaves the door open. He says, you know, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon, God points out, could have asked for riches. He could have asked for victory over all of his enemies. He could have asked for long life. Those are probably the things the average person would ask for. But Solomon didn't ask for any of them. Because really, in the grand scheme of eternity, those things are of very little importance. As a matter of fact, they really don't even matter at all. Solomon asked for something very important, the most important thing anyone could ever have in this life, and what he asked for pleased God very well. Matter of fact, it pleased God so much that God commended him for what he asked for, and God applauded him for what he asked for, and God not only applauded him and was pleased with it, he was so pleased that he granted him what he asked for along with all the things that he could have asked for that he didn't. Solomon asked for a skill here. He wanted a skill. He asked God to skill him, give him a skill. Now, I believe in good skills, don't you? I think I've always said, and I've always believed that you know, whenever I had children and now that I've got my boys, I will always try to guide them and lead them into learning a skill. A good skill, amen. Learning some type of, you know, good skilled labor, good skilled work you could do, amen. I mean, because that's a good thing. And the more skills we add, the more skills we have, listen, the better and easier this life is from a practical perspective. It's good to have good skills. It's good to know how to build a house, how to work on how to do electrical work, how to do plumbing, it's good to know good skills. But of all the skills that we can have, none are as important as the skill that Solomon asked for and requested God for in this passage. You can know all the skills in the world. You can know how to do anything and everything. But if you lack this one skill, it will not mean anything in your life. On the flip side, if you don't know any other skill, if you don't know how to do anything else, if you can't do anything else, if there's nothing else you can do in life, but you know this, you've got this one skill, I tell you, your life will be very, very valuable. Amen. You'll be very, very blessed in your life. The skill that Solomon asked for, he said in verse 9, is the skill of discerning between good and bad. Well, that seems so simple, doesn't it? It seems on the surface just so easy. I mean, if you just take a glance at it, it just seems like, well, man, why would you ask for that skill? Just to know, to discern good and bad. I mean, just to know what's good. I mean, everybody knows what's good and bad. But you know, Solomon was under a lot of pressure here. Solomon was facing a lot. He's a 20-year-old boy in all odds. He's a young man, and he's just taken the throne of the greatest nation in the world at this point. They're an innumerable nation. You can't even put a number on how many people there are. And that because of David, and because of God's blessings on David, because of God's blessings on the nation, God has turned Israel into a great nation, the great nation of the world in which they are living. They are somewhat of the superpower of the day. And here Solomon is, a young man, knowing very little, with very little experience in life and very little practical knowledge of living life and not knowing much of what everybody else knows. He's come to the throne and is expected to run a nation like this. Now, I don't know about you, but that would feel like a lot of pressure and a lot of responsibility and a lot of things to really take in and care. That would seem like a burden to me. I don't know if it would you. Amen? But no doubt Solomon here, he is feeling the burden and he is feeling the responsibility of running this nation. He's probably feeling all by himself. Amen? Now, he is on the throne of a nation. Look at verse number 7. It says, "And now, O Lord my God," you can really see his burden here. He says, "Thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child." Boy, you see the insignificance that he feels, and how he feels so unprepared and so unreal, like it's all just so much bigger than him. He says, "I know not how to go in or come out, or to go out or come in. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing here." He says in verse 8, "Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered, nor counted for multitude." He realizes the pressure and the burden of leading God's chosen people. And no doubt he's heard stories of his ways lived in the life of his father David, the greatest king of Israel. Boy, talk about big shoes to fill. Amen. Listen, David is the measure of a man. He's the measuring stick. Every king since David in Israel has always been measured against David. He is the standard, and this is his own son, living in the shadow of his father. He's no doubt heard stories of the other great leaders of Israel. Think about Moses leading them to the promised land. Read the scriptures and he's heard the stories of the great leadership and all that God has done, and he's heard the miracles and he's seen and heard all the things that have taken place in the history of the country, and here he is feeling like so insignificant and feeling so inferior. No doubt he's battling with some self-esteem issues right here. Lord, I just cannot do this. And because of the burden and because of where he is, he cries out to God to ask the most important thing anyone could ever ask for. God, give me discernment. Give me wisdom. Help me to know the difference in good and bad. You know, we see Solomon here on the throne of a nation. He's a king. All these things are true. But really, a lot different from Solomon. We're all in the same position as Solomon. We're facing things that really we can't handle in this life.
We're things in this world and in this society that we can't handle on our own. Listen, us parents, those of us that are hands, listen, we can't raise our children successfully for the glory of God on our own. We can't do that. Listen, we can't maintain our marriages and have a godly home and have God's blessings in our homes and our marriages and within our families. We can't do that. We can't figure that out. There's no book outside of this book you can go read and figure all that out. And even with that book, you can't figure it out on your own. Amen. You got to have the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen. Listen, we can't figure out our life and figure out the roadmap and how to make it to heaven, and we can't figure out how to, you know, live a successful life. We can't do these things. Life is very complicated. And it's a lot harder than any of us could ever do on our own. I mean, I don't know about you, but have you ever just looked at your life and kind of felt like Solomon? Lord, I'm just a child. I don't know how to do this. I don't know the goings in and the comings out. And there's so many things I don't know and so many things I don't understand. And Lord, I just don't know what to do. I know we're not kings and we're not on a throne, but I tell you what, us men, we are the leaders of our homes. And we'll never lead it right on our own. We're the leaders of our marriages. We're the leaders of our children. We're the leaders within the church. We're the leaders in the community. We're the leaders in the society. We should be. Amen? That's our rightful place. And we can't lead right on our own. We can't do it. Mothers are leading their children and managing their homes and living their lives for the glory of God, and you can't do it on your own. I tell you, we're just so incapable. We're facing things we can't handle. If you think you are, you've deceived yourself. I tell you, the person that thinks they've got the world by the horns and they've got it all figured out, and I mean, they can just go and just, you know, jump in head first and they can just do it, and I'll do it my way. And see, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, amen? And there's a lot of people that they do it their way, and their way is right, and it's their way of the highway. And you can watch, most of those people dive in head first with all the confidence in the world, and they make a mess of their life. They make a mess of their life. Solomon was not like that at all. He realized he couldn't do it on his own. He realized that he needed some help. And the question is, the same question that no doubt Solomon was asking here is, how will we ever know how to navigate this society and this life and live victorious in these days and come out winners on the other side? How will we ever know how to do that whenever things are so, the things that are going on in this world? Well, can I just tell you, there's only one source. Just like the psalmist said in Psalm 138, verse 2, he said, "Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." Only God knows. Only God knows the end from the beginning. Only God can give us direction. Only God can help us to discern right from wrong and good from bad. You know, that's the greatest thing you could ever know in this life. The difference in good and bad. See, our concern should be the exact same as what Solomon's was. It's interesting that God granted Solomon great wisdom, and yet in the question that he asked, the request he asked for God, in itself proved great wisdom. Solomon was a wise man before he ever asked this of God, because wisdom alone is what caused him to ask this. Amen. The question or the request itself was wise. And you know, if we would be wise, we would be concerned about the same thing that Solomon is concerned about. Not what will give us long life. Not what will help me live 100 years or 120 years or give me the longest life possible. Not what will help me have the most money. What's the best career choice that will give me the best retirement, have the best benefits and all those things. Not what's going to get me the most ahead in life and make me the most popular and give me the biggest name in this life. Listen, Solomon could have asked all those things, and God pointed that out in verse 10 and verse 11, but he did not ask any of those things, though that's what the average person would ask for. Rather, we should be concerned over good and bad. Not what's going to be the best career choice and what's going to help me get the biggest house and have the easiest life and the cushiest life and the best retirement and all those things. But Lord, help me to discern good and bad. You know, it's getting harder and harder. It's getting more and more difficult the closer we get to the coming Lord to discern good and bad anymore. Now, right and wrong is clear cut. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either good or it's bad. It's either good or it's evil. It's either sin or it's not. Amen. But with the deception that we are facing in these last days, it's getting more and more difficult to discern that. And with all the advances in technology and all the things that are out there, listen, it's getting more and more difficult to have discernment and to know what's good and what's not good to be a part of, what's good and not good to have in your home, what's good and not good to be a part of your children's lives, what's good and not good to be involved in. We have to be very circumspect to know what's good and bad. You know, I believe this. We were just talking the other day about churches that are, you know, what we consider good churches, solid churches, Bible preaching churches. I mean, you know, old fashioned, you know, our kind of churches, and yet they've lost an entire generation. Not one young person that came up in those churches is still in the old-time way. Not one of them is serving God. Not one of them is faithful. Not one of them is sold out to God. They are living very, very carnal lives at best. At best, if they are in church, they're living a carnal life in a carnal church. Listen, they're full of flesh. They're giving over to the flesh. They're pursuing the things of the world. They're not pursuing the things of God. And it begs the question, what has happened? What has happened? How does that happen? I'll tell you this. This is what I believe has happened. I believe things have changed so fast, and the devil has complicated things so fast with the advent of the internet, with technology and cell phones and smartphones and all these things, that things have changed so fast, and we have not kept up, and we have not used discernment in these things, and the generations have been given free reign over many things they should have never had free reign over, and because of that, we have lost an entire generation. We've lost an entire generation. A lot of folks come up and they say, well, you know, I did all those things, you know, and I turned out okay. It's not the way it was whenever you came up. Well, I mean, I went to public school and I turned out all right. It's not the way it was when you went to public school. Well, I mean, we had the TV whenever I was growing up. It's not the way it was when you were coming up. Things are not the way they were. I mean, even the past 5 years, 3 years, things have changed so rapidly and so drastically. And I tell you, if we are not on our knees begging God to help us and give us discernment, God, help me lead my family right in all this. God, help me raise my children right in all this. God, help me lead this church right in all this. We are going to get left behind in the discernment arena. That's right. We're going to get left behind. This is the greatest skill that any single one of us could ever have in this life. This is the greatest skill. Of all the things you could learn, of all the things you could study, of all the things you could grow your knowledge in, of all the skills you could obtain, this is the greatest one. This will be the foundation of your life. Everything will be built on a solid foundation if they're built on this skill. But if it's not built on this, if it's not built on discerning right and wrong, good and evil, knowing good and bad, the right way to go in life, you're building your life on sinking sand. I want to tell you give you three things about this skill, the greatest skill you could ever have. I want to give you three things and we're going to be done. Number one, this skill that Solomon asked for is an optimum skill. For Solomon, the ability to discern between right and wrong was the optimum skill. It was the greatest skill. It was of him the thing that was the most valuable. Of everything he could have. Now, he could have asked for riches. He could have asked for a pile of gold. He said, well, boy, that'd be pretty valuable. But it's not as valuable as this. See, Solomon saw the worth in this skill. He saw the value in it. See, he may have had many abilities and skills, but none is greater than this ability. The ability to discern between right and wrong. Knowing the difference between right and wrong can save your life. Amen. It will save your life. In fact, it is the difference between life and death. Both physically, but more importantly, spiritually. To be able to discern right and wrong. I tell you, eternity hangs in the balance. With this skill, knowing the difference in right and wrong is the difference between joy and sorrow. It's the difference between problems and solutions. The difference between heartache and peace. On and on we could go. It is the difference maker in our life. knowing what is right and wrong, and doing right. He saw the worth in this skill, but then he saw the work in this skill. In other words, it wasn't just the most valuable skill to him, but it was also the most usable skill to him. See, Solomon was going to have to judge the people, and because of that, he needed discernment. As a matter of fact, you see this skill in action on down the road. You remember the two ladies that brought those children to Solomon? The one that had killed her baby. I believe there was two harlots, if I'm not mistaken. And the one had rolled over and smothered her child, killed her child. And they both brought their baby or brought the living child. And she swapped them in the night, you know. And she brought it. And the one mother woke up the next morning and realized, this is a dead baby, but it's not my dead baby. And so it's one word against the other. And they're fighting over the living child. One claims it's hers. The other one says it's hers. And who's to know who's telling the truth? But because of this turning point in Solomon's life, he was able to discern. Isn't that right? Amen. He called for the presence of the sword. He said, just divide the baby in half, give each of them half. And the one whose baby it was not said, that's exactly right. Just divide it in half. If I can't have mine, she shouldn't have hers. That was the mentality, right? But the mother whose baby it was cried out for mercy and cried out, you know, begged for that child's life and said, no. Just let her have the baby. If it means my child's life, just let her have the child. And Solomon was able to discern, it's her baby. Amen? Right here is where that happened. Right here is where the difference was made. And Paul and Solomon didn't learn that in a university somewhere. He didn't learn that in some ivory tower of every education somewhere. He learned that in the church house. He learned that hearing from God. He learned that worshiping God and praying and walking with God. And God met with him and God gave him this skill. And it's the greatest skill he could have ever had. And it changed his life on down the road. As a matter of fact, it affected the whole nation. Amen. An optimum skill. Number two, even though it's an optimum skill, it's also an opposed skill. See, it's really strange, but it's true that this being the most important skill that someone can have is also so very opposed by so many. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's the greatest thing you could ever know, and yet most people reject it, and society rejects it. I don't want to know good and bad and right and wrong. By the way, that's why our society and our nation is on such shaky ground now. Because they don't want to know truth. People don't want to know what's right. I mean, you can't say something's wrong. You can't say I've done wrong. Because that doesn't make me feel good, you know. People want to go on how they feel, you know. We want to feel good. You can't tell me I've done wrong. I've made a mistake, maybe. Or, I've got some medical problem, maybe, but you can't say I've done wrong. This is an opposed skill. I'll give you an example. Schools today insist on sex education. They insist on that. But they reject and oppose teaching right and wrong. They reject and oppose saying, you know, preaching, you know, the Word of God that committing the sin of adultery is one of the Ten Commandments and it's a sin against God. Well, you can't say it's a sin. You can't say it's wrong. I mean, it's just a part of life. It's a natural part of life. And so we're not going to teach that it's wrong and to keep yourself pure and to keep your morality and keep your purity and save yourself for the marriage altar. And we're not going to preach what God says. We're just going to teach a safer way to do it. Because you can't say it's wrong. We don't want to know the difference in right and wrong. We don't want to discern that. And that's the way the average person is. That's the way the flesh is. That's the way you and I will even be if we're not careful. Our flesh will still want that. Because see, the flesh wants self-help. People want to know how to better themselves and be, you know, productive and earn more money and you know, get the raise and get the advancement, you know, and have a successful business and a successful life. And they want all the blessings of God, all the good things in life. They want influence, want power, but this whole thing of something being right or something being wrong, I don't know about all that. You'll have none of those things, though. The success, the advancement. You'll never have any of those things if you're under the curse of God, though. And you'll be under the curse of God if you're not doing right and instead doing wrong. You know, God told Israel over in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. You ought to study the book of Haggai sometime, the prophet of Haggai. He testified in the later and prophesied in the later years of Isaiah's ministry. And just there at the end, when Israel was about to go into bondage because of her sin, because of her rejection of God, because she did not discern that which was right and that which was wrong and went her own way, this is what Haggai said to Israel in chapter 1, verse 6. He said, "Ye have sown much and bring in little." He said, "Ye eat, but ye have not enough." He said, "Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." In other words, if God's hand is not blessing what we're doing, if God's not touching what we're doing, listen, you can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to heap up that big, you know, bountiful harvest that you want and all the money you want, have all the things you want in life. But if God doesn't touch it, and if God doesn't bless it, if God doesn't help us, we won't have anything. We won't have anything. God's got to help us. A lot of people have forsaken God and turned their back on God. A lot of people that say they're saved, they don't want to discern right and wrong and good and bad. Their mind's not on that. Their mind is on the things of this world. And then they want the blessings of God too when you place yourself under the curse of God. It is an opposed skill. Number three, it is an obtainable skill. See, anyone who wants this skill can have it. If you want to discern right and wrong, if you want to have the wisdom that Solomon had, you can't have it. You know, I was thinking, this statement has always stuck with me. Brother Tim Fuller preached in our Bible conference. And he made a statement that maybe was a passing statement, I don't know. But I honestly can't even really remember what he was preaching that night, but I remember the statement. And he made this statement. I know it was. He was preaching that series on witnessing, you know. And he made this statement. He said, you know, he said, Christianity, true Christianity, is the thinking man's religion. And that is right. That is true. That doesn't mean you have to be smart to be saved. It doesn't mean you have to be super intelligent and educated to be saved and to be a Christian. But you do have to think. You got to be a thinker. Matter of fact, that's what the Bible talks about. It. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And you know all that Psalm chapter 1. But he said, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You'll never do anything for God if you don't think about these things. See, that's why the devil is seeking to steal our attention all the time. That's why before we even get out the door of the building, having just heard a message under the power of the Holy Ghost, the phone is already dinging and the radio is already playing. And I mean, there's already something to steal away our attention. Because if he can keep our mind on something else, it's not necessarily even about keeping our mind on bad things. It's just keeping your mind on something that's not this. Discerning good and evil. You know, the devil, he doesn't want us to respond to the attacks that come. He wants us to react. There's a difference. There's a big difference. When you react, you're reacting to something that's already there. It's there, it's upon you, so you just react. A response is something that you have planned out. You've given thought to it. You've prayed over it. And you've prayed, asked God to give you discernment, to give you help, and you've thought it through. And so when the day comes and the attack comes, you know what to do, and you know what God told you to do. It's a big difference in a response and a reaction. The devil wants to keep our minds busy on things that do not matter. Not necessarily even sinful things, but things that just do not matter. Things that are not the Word of God. Things that are not the things of God. Things that are not helping us to discern good and evil. So that whenever the attack comes, we have to react and we're not able to respond. But the hope in this is that it is an obtainable skill. Anyone who wants it can have it. See, Solomon asked God for it and could learn right from wrong from God's Word. And so can we. We can do those same very things. You know, you can ask God for this skill. This is something you can pray for and you should pray for every day. You should pray that God would give you wisdom and to help you discern and to give you understanding and to help you be honest with yourself and honest with God and show you the way, show you the path, because you'll never see the right path without it. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He doesn't just measure out a little bit of wisdom at a time. It says he gives liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't even hold back the amount that he gives you. He gives you more. He'll give you more than enough. Amen? So you can ask God for it. You can seek it and find it in the Word of God. You've got a Bible and thank God for it. But don't let your Bible collect dust and then wonder why you have no direction. Unfortunately, there's so few people ever do. So few people ever pray and ask and take seriously this thing of really being able to discern right from wrong. People pray for health and wealth, but they seldom pray for this important skill. People will do everything about their life is devoted to pursuing health and pursuing wealth. They'll pray for it, they'll pursue it. I mean, they'll go after it, you know, being healthy, being wealthy, and all those things. But truth, it seems like so few people really want to be truly wise. Truly wise. Wise in the things of God. You may need health and you may need a degree of wealth, but you need to discern right from wrong more than those things. Amen. And I give you this in closing. This world is changing so fast. So fast. We can't even keep up. I mean, with the technology, with all the apps that are available now. I mean, it's unbelievable. All that's available and all that's coming out, the new things that are coming and going all the time. And I mean, for, you know, myself as a parent, thinking about the days ahead whenever my children are getting to a certain age and the rest of us. And we've got young people, you know, thinking about their you know, making their decisions for their life, making huge decisions and transitioning in life. We've got some thinking about marriage. We've got others in different parts of life. And with as complicated as this world is, with everything going on, how in the world will we ever make it? If we don't have discernment and know what God wants us to do. See, if you're not careful, you'll lose touch and not know how to face the attacks of the devil this day. And they're certainly out there. They're out there more than ever. I really believe this. I believe that there are churches, and churches are made up of people. I believe there are churches and families that have lost an entire generation and they weren't meaning to. They had good motives. They had a good heart. They wanted, you know, who doesn't want to reach the next generation? But with as fast as things are changing and with all the things that the devil has out there in this world, has all the allurements that are out there, we missed something, and I think it was this right here. It was discernment. We thought, well, I had these things when I was a kid. I mean, I had some of this stuff. I mean, I came up with some of this stuff. And we let our kids have the same things, not realizing that it's not the same thing. I mean, I had them, you know, I had little video games and stuff as a kid. I played that stuff when I was a kid, you know, and it's okay. I turned out all right. You know, it's not that bad. You know, we let our kids have them, not realizing it's not the same thing. I watched cartoons coming up, and I mean, you know, it's all right. I mean, it was never bad, you know. And then we put our kids in front of the TV and then walk away.
That's right.
And don't realize it's not the same thing.
Teaching everything.
It's not the same thing.
Right.
I've told you this before, I'm sure I have. I'll tell you again, Hannah. We'll let the boys have in the past. Let the boys watch a little cartoon or something here and there every now and then. Never just, you know. I mean, we've never had TV or whatever. I mean, if it's something, you know, it's a DVD or something like that, you know, something that's very controlled. And or watch some little dinosaur cartoon or something. Is it at her parents' house, maybe? I can't remember. Some little dinosaur cartoon and something they've watched all the time. And I mean, what's more cute and adorable and appealing to a child than cartoon dinosaurs, right? What's going to catch their attention? What are they going to be zoned in on? What's going to really capture them? Cartoon dinosaurs. What kid doesn't love dinosaurs? Next thing you know, they're talking about, you know, two dino dads adopting a dino baby. I'm telling you, it's not the same that it used to be. It's not what it was whenever all of you were coming up. It's not even the way it was when I was coming up. And if the show itself isn't bad enough, the commercials are horrific. I mean, this LGBTQ stuff is promoted on every hand. All kinds of sin is promoted on every hand.
Yes, sir.
I mean, from music and media. And I'm just simply saying, we have to have discernment. I'm not suggesting we need to go crawl in a hole somewhere and pull a rock over ourselves and, you know, whatever. But I am saying this. We got to have discernment. And we have to have enough grit, enough spiritual grit about us to realize when something is not good for me and it's not good for my family and everybody else in the whole world, even every church person in the world may be doing it and may have it. But I've prayed for discernment on this thing, and God's shown me that this is not good for me and it's not good for my family. We all have to have enough spiritual grit to get rid of it. To get rid of it. Whatever it is. Because the fruit of these things don't show up tomorrow. The fruit of these things don't show up when our kids are small, when the generation is small, and they're still crawling under the pews, you know, or the chairs now. The fruit of this doesn't show up whenever they're sleeping on the benches in church, you know, and you know, it doesn't show up then, but I'm telling you, that stuff gets in their heart.
Yes, sir.
And it'll show up one of these days.
Amen. Sure it will.
If we're not careful, we'll all this time go by and then we'll scratch our head and wonder what happened. I'm simply saying we've got to have discernment. We've got to have God to help us have discernment. And it's not just about the next generation, it's about all of us.
Right.
All of us.
Sure.
I tell you, the devil's trying to get a foot in the door of your life, a foot in the door of your heart, and he will put things in your heart that'll be hard, hard, hard to get out of there.
You're right.
Discernment, the greatest skill you could ever have. Have you made, let me ask you this, have you made pursuing this thing of godly wisdom and discernment, have you made it a real pursuit in your life, a real conscious pursuit?
Amen.
Do you just live your life assuming, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, we'll deal with that problem when it comes up, whatever, hopefully we'll never have that problem? Or have you really made the pursuit of wisdom and discernment a real part of your life? If you haven't, you ought to. You ought to, because that's the only way to make it, to have true wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to have wisdom and discernment. Lord, help us to pursue it with our lives. Lord, help us to pursue it, Lord, for ourselves, for our families, Lord, for our churches. God, I just pray that you'd help us. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's anyone here lost that needs to be saved, Lord, I pray that you'd save their soul this morning. Lord, I pray for anyone here who's you've dealt with their heart about this thing of discernment and wisdom. Lord, discerning good from bad. Lord, I pray that, Lord, they do business with you. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.